Discover for yourself how God is able to change your life forever through the ministry of Bishop Dagwood Mills. Dagwood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 1,200 churches worldwide. He is an international healing evangelist and author of several best-selling books. He also conducts work of ministry conferences all over the world and has established the Anakazo Bible and Ministry Training Center. Now, listen to Dagwood Mills.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Just ask God to speak to you this morning by His power, by His Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your greatness. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Oh, hallelujah. Ask God to give you the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of Him. Father, we are grateful for this morning and how you have guided us and brought us to this point. Guide us by your mighty Holy Spirit. We are glad. We are grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm happy to be here again this morning. The reason that I decided to come here was when we were going to Zambia, I came to ask you to give some money to help, and you gave. So I've come to say thank you. We are back. Hallelujah. It was the contribution that you made that made it possible for us to actually go to Zambia to have the crusades. So, God bless you. And I decided to come just that to say thank you. And what I also want to say is that I don't need to be introduced here because this is my church. And I also want to say that I don't want you at the Kodesh and anywhere else to misunderstand the things that we are doing in the church. You see, there was only one Kodesh, and now we have four of the Kodesh. We are soon going to be dedicating the Kadesh. And we are soon going to be dedicating the Kadesh. They are all almost finished, almost 100% completed. Amen. So instead of one church, we have, and the First Love Church is also from the Kadesh. Because we are the pastor. You see, I'm the pastor of this church. Bishop Saki is my assistant. No, please listen instead of clapping. Bishop Saki is my assistant pastor. Bishop Eddie is our worship leader of this church. This is the original church that we started with. So this is our church. Bishop Fabian, Bishop Oko Mensah, Bishop Okobotedoko are junior bishops who have been put here as caretakers. Do you understand? So that, but this is actually our church. So don't misunderstand it. So even this pop-ups, if you can remove it, say welcome, and you don't need to welcome me to my church. Clear them from there, please. I don't need to make a pop-up to welcome me to my church. Please, it's a mistake. Clear it from there, please. Yeah. Hallelujah. So don't misunderstand what we are doing. And now we have four churches. And we are believing God that we'll be six. But we are waiting for something. We are waiting for something before we become six churches. I mean, when I say six, we are thousands. But I'm talking about a particular church with the same pastors that are here. And even it's the same church. Some of the pastors that you have had here, Pastor Geraldo, Pastor Courage, and all, they are all First Love children. So come here for some time, go here. It's the same church that we are intermingling and mixing up. Hallelujah. So I need you to really understand what is going on. And then even you see other denominations, Mega Church, Jesu Kigeri, First Love, and other things. Don't misunderstand it. It's the same church in different ways. Hallelujah. And we are moving on to higher and higher heights in the Lord. Amen. Few churches are able to do what we are doing. Few. You know, so by the grace of God, we have loyal people. If we didn't have loyal people, we couldn't go and walk away from the Kodesh. I never ask, what are they saying there? What are they preaching? It has not even occurred to me that what is Bishop Fabian saying or what is Bishop Oko, because they are my sons. They are my children. So, you know, I don't normally talk this way. You don't hear certain things from me usually, but occasionally I have to say so that you things will be a bit clear. Yeah. You know? So don't misunderstand what is going on. We are building the church. We are happy that the church is growing bigger than when we were here. And Bishop Saki was here when I moved out. Bishop Saki was here for some years. I never asked, what is Bishop Saki saying? We don't have any problem. But there are some places, if you dare to make the mistake of going away, before you realize, the church doesn't even like you again. You'll not be happy to see me. Yes. I know a pastor, he went out of a church. He told me himself, not that somebody told me. He told me himself. He said he went to America for 6 weeks, I think for a holiday or something, with his family. And he had 3,000 members. He told me, I had 3,000 members. He said, when I came back from my holiday, about a few days after, the pastor came to me, the assistant who left there with the 3,000 members, came to him and told him that he is leaving the church. He's resigning. So pastor said, how? I've just come from America. He said, yes, I know you've just come, but I have to leave. So he talked and said, there's no need for you to go anywhere now. I said, no, I have to leave now. So the pastor, assistant pastor, resigned. Now, when he resigned, I don't know what he had told the people, but out of the 3,000, all of them left, remaining 19 people. Yes. Not that I read it in a book. The pastor is sitting here. I'm also sitting here. He was telling me. I was left with 19 people, including my wife and my children. And the pastor told the whole church, because that is what people can do when you leave them in charge. They can speak to the people and speak in a way that the people will lose their love for their actual leader, in a way. Then, when this pastor left, the pastor told me that, he said, look, my whole life and ministry ended with this thing that happened. And then he said, 3 months after this pastor left, he got sick. The assistant pastor became sick. He had a disease. He says he didn't know that he had this. Then he was fasting. And during the fasting, he went into a coma. So he said he was in the hospital, and he even went to the hospital to visit him and pray for him. But he didn't recover. He died 3 months after. Zechariah 5 verse 4. It says that the curse of the Lord is in the house of a thief. It will consume the timber, the water, the stones, everything will be gone. Yes. So if you steal somebody's ministry, somebody's members, somebody's sheep, a curse will be in your house. So loyalty is not something that we are just saying, but it's also something that we are practicing and experiencing practically. And that loyalty is the basis for growth. Amen. How many of you will be happy to go to Ouagadougou and see that there is a Kodesh in Ouagadougou? Yes, but you see, now there is no Kodesh in Ouagadougou. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. How many will be happy to go to Abidjan and see that there's a Kodesh in Abidjan? Some of you don't know that you'll be in Abidjan one day. Yes. You don't even know. How many of you will be happy to go to Cotonou and see that there is Kodesh in Cotonou? Very happy. And so on and so forth. So, brothers and sisters, expansion and growth in your church is possible by the principles of loyalty. I don't know, what is it? Loyalty, commitment, what is it? September. Is it a month of loyalty or what? Yeah. That is what makes expansion possible. And it's fearless expansion. Fearless. We are not afraid by the grace of God. We are not afraid. We are expanding more. That's why we are so fearless. Our members are fluid. You can be here, you can be here, you can be here. When I went to First Love Church, I told people, one that I said, don't come, stay at the Kodesh. These are not people that we just knew. Is that Dr. Joyce I'm seeing there, or my eyes are not? You look at this. I knew her when I was starting it. I was a house officer as a doctor. She was also a doctor, house officer. It's not a few years ago. I qualified for medical school in 1989, almost 30 years ago. So these are not new people. The church is not made of just new people. They are old people who have built the church. So it's not a new, they are not new, but we are not afraid. Now, thank you, my dear. One day I went to England and I saw a pastor, and I was telling him about the importance of branches. He said, oh, he doesn't do branches. Yes. One branches only. So I said, why? He said, look, he was a pastor. He had a nice big church. And then they decided to reach out and then establish another church because they got another building in London. And he said, when he was going, many of the families which had been in the church for years, they were comfortable to stay. So he left the assistant pastor in the old building. It's like left the assistant pastor at Collegono and then moved to the new building. He said as he was at the new building, he doesn't know what the old assistant pastor told the people. All of them, he said, families of that have been in the church for years. He spoke to them, and one day he also came to say that God has told him that he's leaving. And he left with almost all the families. That's why people don't have branches. So he told me branches, never. I'll never have any branch of my church. Where I am, that is it. And there are some people, they don't have even an assistant pastor, only their wives. Hey! Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that as your church is expanding fearlessly, you should be excited about it and giving thanks to God for the growth. And you should not misunderstand it. And you should not be obviously led astray by anything foolish, which we don't even think about. We don't even believe that something like that can be. If it was to happen, it would be a surprise to us. Yes, to be a surprise. But you as a church member must grow in your knowledge. It's like if somebody comes and says, I'm leading you away from Jesus Christ. Supposing I come with a new Jesus. You must ask yourself that as you are in the church, who have you believed in? Is it Jesus or now a new Jesus is coming? So that is very important for you as a believer to grow up in the spirit. Amen. And not be affected by that. So please, I want everyone to be part of the great expansion and the growth of the church. And that we are all the same pastors of the same church. Yes, I say, I repeat that I am the pastor of this church. If any church cannot say that, maybe I've not pastored the church in Teshi, or I've not pastored the church at Sakumono, or not pastored the church at Adenta. But here, there, this is my church. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yes. Maybe they can say, but here, you cannot say that. I'm not the pastor of the church here. So please understand the expansion and all that. And one of the things too that we are going to be seeing more of is young men. Turn to Isaiah 23 verse 4. Isaiah 23 and verse 4. Isaiah 23 verse 4. It says here, be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea has spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, the sea represents, the waters always represent the people, has spoken, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children. So I want you to see something, that shame comes because we don't have children. Now, as a ministry, as a church, we have to have children of the ministry. Amen. Saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. Now, these are three groups that are very important. The absence of these three groups makes shame come, according to the verse. Shame comes because these three groups are not present. One, children. People that you can call sons, even though they are not biological children. Now, if I didn't have sons, if I didn't have sons, spiritual sons, I mean, we cannot expand. We cannot grow. This morning as I'm preaching here, there are churches in Teshi, in Kumasi, in Tamale, all over. They are having church service and they are also preaching powerfully. So, but it has taken the bringing forth of children. I officiated these people who are your bishops. I officiated their weddings. I counseled them. I called Bishop Okwe and showed him the trousers to wear and shoes. Yes. And how to wear a tie. I showed him how to wear a tie. Maybe you may not know because he's even bigger than me. He has the body. Your body, wow. No. If we have not been nurturing children, we have nothing. When I went to Zambia, I have pastors there with churches and church buildings. When we were leaving, we left the convoy of Amin, so many trucks and buses, and we left it in the care of our pastor. Our pastor came to the airport to drive us to the Indola airport to fly out of Indola, the north of Zambia. Yes. And Lusaka, and so on. So if I have not taken time to build up children, we would have been ashamed. So you must expect, and that is the reason, one of the reasons why we expand, so that others can also rise up and do great things. Amen. Then the second group that we must have is to nourish up young men. Now, if you come to the First Love Church, you see a lot of young men, even my son whom I carried, is a pastor there. And sometimes even you see that a bishop will be sitting there, but my son is preaching, and other people's sons and other young men who are in their 20s who have not married even. Why do you think we are doing that? Why do you think we are doing that? We are nourishing up young men. Look at the verse. Look at it. He says, you did not nourish up young men. You did not nourish up young men. That is the reason why I sent Pastor Courage, Geraldo, and Kojo, Pastor, they're all doctors. I said, they are young men. That's why I sent them here. It's all part of nourishing up young men. Don't misunderstand. Our church, don't misunderstand it. Our church is also training. Yes. People. One day I sent a pastor to someone, and the person said to a young pastor, he said, I don't listen to apprentices. It's one of the side effects of something like that. I don't listen to apprentices. But when you go to Kolebu, you see some of the people wearing white coats, they are not doctors at all. They are medical students. If you don't have a hospital like Kolebu, which is called Kolebu Teaching Hospital, you never have doctors. You only have the old professors who will die. Many of the people who taught me now in medical school, either they are dead. A very good oncologist who taught me, a surgeon who taught me, is dead. The other ones, their hands are shaking. And if your hands are shaking, you can't operate because it's dangerous. So most of them are not active. Or they are dead. So if they had not nourished up younger men as doctors, there will be nobody in the hospital today. And you have to allow the young men to work. Otherwise, you have nothing. No matter how good you are, your days are numbered. I am now over 50. In about 16 years, if God gives me the grace, I'll be 70 years old. Are we going to sit down without nourishing up young men? Do you want to see old men as pastors who don't understand new things? So, you see, you must understand what is happening. Tell somebody, don't misunderstand what is happening. And then the third group are young to bring up virgins. Now, you can hardly find virgins. Yes, you can hardly find virgins. And a virgin is an important type of sister, Christian sister, that we need to have in the church. Yes. Because when you have learned certain things, you realize that you are different. You see, even when somebody hugs you, if you are spiritual, you can know that this person's hug is not the same. It's a different type of hug. Because certain purity is gone from the person. Yes. There are sisters who sit here looking at the pastor preaching, asking, is he married? Does he have a brother? Is there a way I can know him? Yes. So a virgin is very important. And God wants to lift up and grow up younger. That's why we have Saved and White Church and First Love Church. And we are trying to keep some of the girls should be virgins. Ah. Some of the girls should be virgins. We can't just leave them to go out there and learn everything. You know, one brother, he got married and on Saturday and then on Sunday. It was Sunday after church. Now he wants to see the pastor. So when he came, it was like, what is it? So, Pastor, I need to see you badly. I need to see you. So when he came, he said, you know, Pastor, I tell you, I've married a very bad girl. This is from one night of marriage. So the pastor said, why? He said, my goodness, when we went into the marriage chamber, what happened to me there? I said, no, no. And I can't say the things in the microphone. I won't say them. He said, I've married a very bad girl. So God wants us to have some virgins. How many want us to have some virgins? We are going to have virgins. Amen. Finally, Mark chapter 6. How many have understood what is happening in the church better? Beautiful. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. Now, when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that such mighty works are wrought by his hands? What type of works?
Mighty.
What type of works?
Mighty
works. Now, I want you to see that the very next thing after the word mighty works is a question. After the mighty works were done, the next thing came, a question. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Now, I want you to notice, a great prophet may be in your midst doing mighty works, but it will still not make you believe and make you have faith. Now, he said that a prophet is not without honor. In other words, a prophet is without honor in his country and in his home and among his own relatives. Now, a prophet, I am a prophet to you. You may not know, but I'm a prophet to you. Now, a prophet for the anointing that is on a prophet to work, right, you must believe and you must have faith. Now, the same person, as he moves around from place to place, you see more of what is in the person. Now, what did Jesus do when they despised him? They said he went about. Immediately, they were offended with him, and he could not do mighty works. And verse 6, he went around. So, you have to roam around when you are not on it. You have to move away. Now, what I want to say is that let us over here not try. You see, you have to try not to fall into this mistake. Because, you see, the mighty, Bible says, he could not do mighty works. He couldn't. You sit in front of people and they will not receive the power that you are carrying because of they don't really believe. And it's not sometimes, it's something that is not so easy to believe when you are with the person in the same country, in the same family, and so on. If you listen to me, you'll see that there are people that have received me as a prophet. Do you see? Because if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. You get a certain type of response. And you see that Jesus, it wasn't like Jesus was anointed here, he was not anointed here. He was always anointed. But in the midst of people who don't honor the prophet, there is no a certain type of wonder and sign. Now, as you go on reading in this chapter, I just want to end it with this. You see that the Bible says that he turned loaves, multiplied loaves, and many, many people were provided for. Amen. But verse 52, it says, verse 51, let's read 51 and 52. It says, and he went to them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now, it is interesting. Listen, what we really need are the miracles of Jesus in the area of provision. Jesus did not only heal, he multiplied bread and fish, which is the kind of miracle that we are really seeking nowadays. Multiplication of things that we need. Do you see? Now, when that happened, the Bible says they were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. When your heart is hardened spiritually, it doesn't flow into belief. Something will happen. It's like a stone. It doesn't move towards belief. Your heart just stays stiff. So, what I want you to see is that your church has really prospered and flourished. For the fact that we are just about to dedicate 2 more Kodeshes, which are all full of people. If your heart is hardened, the miracle of the loaves that are multiplied, you will not see it. You don't see things. When great things happen, you don't notice it. True. The fact that God has blessed, even the fact that he has kept us together. When I play golf, I don't play with Bishop Oku and Bishop. I play with Bishop Saki and Bishop Eddie. They are my assistant. That's my worship leader and my assistant pastor. Maybe you don't know. Even that is a miracle.
Amen.
In today's world, go around and see. Go around and see. You see, even churches that say they are building their headquarters are still building their headquarters for years. And they call me small boy. Or they used to call me small boy. They used to call me small boy. Yes. So I want you to see that there is a miracle happening. But the way the loaves multiply and everybody gets something, you may easily not notice that a great miracle is happening. Bible says that they considered not the miracle of the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Yes. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. They didn't think about it because their heart was... You see, if your heart is soft, you notice. That's why in the First Life Church, we give testimony about God gave me an iPad.
Hallelujah.
The people whose hearts are hardened, they don't notice it. God gave me a phone. It's a miracle to us. All these things are provisions from God, but when your heart is hardened, God will be doing things for you. Oh, but this one I would have had. Oh, but this job, but this one I would have gone. I'll get my visa. Oh, but this one is whatever. This is how you think when your heart is hardened. Yes. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. So the miracle of the multiplied kodeshes. You better start considering it seriously. Yes. If you don't consider it, it reveals that your heart is hardened. Very hardened. Very hardened. Very hardened. Very hardened. And from today, you must believe. Because, you see, the sad thing about having a prophet with you and not believing is that all the power and all the signs and all the wonders and all the provisions that you would have had, you don't have it. Other people have it. Oh, yes. Other people experience it. Other people experience the blessing, the prosperity, the healings, the miracles. Because a great prophet is in your midst, but you don't honor or see. And that's why I institute. It's not coming from the bishops or my assistants or my life. I am the one doing it, and I don't have any shame about it. I instituted the Galatians 6:6, which we even in the First Life Church, we call it honor the prophet. The prophet's honor. We call it the prophet's honor. You know, I was watching a church, a small church. The church will not be bigger than... This first service is a large service. You may not know. Many churches don't have even this number of people. Because there's over 1,000 people here. They bought their pastor a private jet. That group. And so I was just interested in that church, so I was looking at them, what they were doing. When the pastor is introduced to come up, they all kneel down in the church. They all kneel down like this. I saw it with my eyes. Yes, they all kneel down. When they introduced him, come, they all kneel down. And there's some honor that they have. That's why even they will be able to buy a plane. A church that is, this first service is bigger than that church. Yes. You see, because people notice certain things, their heart is not hardened to believe in things. Yes. So I want you to believe in the miracle of the provision. Like as we are here, we are standing in millions. Look at it. Long time ago, it was dedicated. It's an old church, has become a branch. Can you believe it? They considered not. So I'm saying that you are sitting on blessed ground and others shouldn't be coming to take the blessings that are for you. I don't want to sit down and others will be coming to take bites and blessings whilst you are sitting here and you are standing here. Yes. You must consider what God has done and what God is doing. And receive the prophet that God has given you so that whatever power he's carrying. Is it Philippians 1:7? Philippians 1:7. Beautiful. It says, you are partakers of my grace. You are all partakers of my grace. Whatever grace God has put on Paul, he was telling them that you Philippians, you are partakers of the grace that I have been given. And I prophesy to you that you are all partakers of the grace that God has given. What is this grace? It's a grace that is doing wonderful things. Yes. And expanding. Our crusades today, I tell you, you know, in one of the towns, the pastor said, the last city we went, that was by one city, he said, 37 years ago, Bonky came here. 37 years ago, Bonky came here. A smaller crusade with a smaller group. He said, I am happy that my eyes have seen. 37 years later, another Bonky has come here. You are partakers of this grace because the grace that is here is that whatever God has blessed us to do, it has become the biggest. It has become the most flourishing and most anointed. May that grace be upon your lives. May you not lack any good thing in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet. Father, thank you for today and for your great guidance and great blessing. Lead us into all of your goodness. Your goodness. Let whatever grace there is be released upon your people. Everything that holds back multiplication, we block it now in Jesus' name. Thank you. Your children are partakers of this grace of prosperity and of multiplication, of increase. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Teach us, O Lord, to honor the prophets, that we may not be among those who fulfill the prophecy, that a prophet is not without honor, only in one place, his country, his home, and his relatives. But rather, may we fulfill the prophecy that as many as received, to them he gave power. Give power to those who receive today. Thank you for your blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, raise up your right hand. I want to pray with you. You want to be born again this morning. Maybe somebody invited you. You want to take a step for God, a step to say, from today I want to give my life to Jesus and follow Jesus Christ. If you are here like that, lift your right hand up high and I pray with you. God bless you. Lift it up high above the sky so I can see. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, come to me in the front here as we close. God bless you. I want to just pray with you as we close the service. Wow. Give him your life today.
Give him your life today.
Come unto Jesus.
Come unto Jesus.
Come. Let us pray. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you. I give you my soul. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. 1, 2, 3, 4 of you. I want you to go with our pastor who is over here, and a great blessing is going to come over you. You may be seated.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dagwood Mills, please visit our website at www.dagwoodmills.org. God richly bless you.